Here because you folks are a faithful lot, but it's good to see the good cross section. Yeah,
is there one thing? So it's a big important thing because it's the kids. So Nadine and Bella have graciously said they'll be upstairs in the Bible Circle class doing some coloring. So if you're little and you want to go up to the Bible Circle class, you can do that. And if you're under 10 or a little bit over 10, you can come and color with me in the back. If you're 10 or over, you should be taking the notes. Okay.
If you're over 10 and it helps you to draw pictures to, apprehend the material, you can do that too. It's okay. So glad to have you all here, and especially U-Town. And this is three in a row with near our Christmas Eve and the Christmas Day, and then today on New Year's Day. Well done. And especially, I think it's interesting, as you'll hear in a few minutes here, of how this text speaks to the larger church needing to hear God's will. I thought, this is so interesting, as we have our congregations together in the house today, and part of our work together of discerning God's will is that it is for all of us together. So the Lord always goes ahead of us. Just before Christmas, we had one last elders' prayer meeting. We love to gather as elders. We love to pray for the congregation. We love to track with what's going on, people that are in a tight spot, things to be prayed through. And it was interesting, as we were in that place of listening prayer, there was, this hopefully isn't too surprising, there was a vision, a picture that arose, and it was so interesting how, as part of that, was this word that that there needed to be a sharpening. And then someone else said, well, we just read that in Isaiah, and then that was read out again as we're there, and it's like, boy, the word received in the sense of a vision of the Lord, and then the word read from Scripture just fitted together so exquisitely. So we're paying attention about the need to have our lives sharpened. So as you even just stop to think of, as you go into this new year and thinking of your spiritual life, where's the dullness? Where's the ineffectiveness? You know, anyone who's a craftsman or anyone who uses tools, they know that the good work happens when you keep your stuff sharp. You know, that discipline, that care for the things that you do your craft with, or your even if it's a hobby. Or, I mean, you got to take care of your tools. And this is so important for our spiritual lives, individually and as a church congregation, and as church congregations, that we are spiritually sharp in how we listen to and discern God's will. I just, again, noting as Tim was nudged there to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, your will be done. Because that's what we're talking about this morning here. I feel very stirred up to open this new year from Romans chapter 12, the first couple of verses, which deals specifically with the need to prove, to test God's will, his good. Anyone got that one down? There's three things about God's will. It's good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. So, five terms that I feel particularly stirred up to identify and to bring out into the open here this morning on this New Year's Day from Romans 12, the first couple of verses. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Lord, we have already lifted you up. We've awakened ourselves with praise this morning. We've lifted up our voices. We've lifted up our eyes from trying circumstances, from taxing times, to say, you are greater than. You go ahead of us. You make the way. And Lord, we pray right now that this word from the Apostle Paul would speak across the time and penetrate each of our hearts to sharpen our spiritual focus for this new year, for your glory. Amen. So five words. The first one is therefore. You know, this chapter starts off with that great word therefore, and as someone pointed out a long time ago, we get always asked, why is the therefore? Therefore. Well, you know, it's interesting in Romans, this is the third marker of therefore where the book makes a profound statement and turn. First one is in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just allow that one to kind of simmer in your heart, eh? We've been justified through faith. We have peace with God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Yeah. But not only that, I mean, that deals with that which has been passed. Chapter 8, therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So there's that past stuff dealt with, and then there's now no condemnation. If you're in Christ Jesus, you've come to Him to worship. There's no condemnation. Yes, there's a conscience. Yes, there's a need to keep short account. That's the one. So I'm a little sleep deprived. Feels like I'm jet lagged. Is it? It's really New Year's Day. Short accounts, yeah. But it's so true. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And then chapter 12, verse 1. I skipped into Corinthians. That's a different chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, in New Year's Day, urging. Now, I'm not particularly a big one for New Year's resolutions. It's interesting how last night at supper, our kids said, so we're going to make any New Year's resolutions. I'm like, well, yeah, the kids are making them. They get in there early, eh? And we talked about how it's good to have, you know, resolutions, it's good to have goals, it's good to have things to be looking forward to, striving towards, you know, a sense of direction. But on the whole, I found my experience, and maybe others, is resolutions just typically leave you feeling guilty and kind of like a loser, you know, because you meant so well and you kind of typically don't manage to get there. So this is not a New Year's resolution chat or to pump you up to be more resolved. You know, think of the things that we could say, you know, you need to get in shape. You need to do better with your finances. You got to stop wasting time playing video games. We could resolve to do those things, but a lot of the trouble with resolutions is it's just working on the behaviors, working on the stuff that needs to actually fall second to our heart. Because if you get your heart lined up, in other words, because you actually get it, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, so you should take care of God's work. You know, that's the order of things. It's because time is precious. Hey, it's good to have leisure and hobbies and stuff, but, you know, we put the emphasis on if your heart is on track seeking God. I mean, time is precious, and you just, like those other things, just don't have the same interest. And watching your finances, again, you know, if your heart is seeking God, you get this whole point of everything's about being a good steward. That God has given you stuff to take care of. A little, a medium, a large amount, it doesn't seem to matter. It's the same call to be a good steward. So again, the heart is online following God, then what you do with these things will come in kind. So not so big on the resolutions, but big on the point of where our heart is. God's transformation comes from the inside out. So therefore, we are urged. So the second word then is to offer or to present. So therefore, first word, offer. Present yourself. As what? As a sacrifice to God. And really appreciating Tim, Monica, the direction you guys led us in this morning with this declarative, like, bring the worship. And now it's be the worship. Be the worship. Put yourself on the altar of God's worship. Be the worship. Get in the game. As someone has said, put your legs to your prayers. You know, enough of the, Lord, here am I, send them. This is about freedom of will. We choose to do this or not. And it's really important, again, to read all these scriptures in the context. If you go back through and read the book of Romans, there's a whole lot of speaking to people from the Jewish background about the law and the slavery of the law and the freedom in Christ. So here we are now celebrating this freedom of our will to then choose to make ourselves available to serve God. And the really cool part in this is that the result of making yourself available to serve God is that joy comes to reside. As you make yourself available to serve God, joy comes, welling up within your heart. As I was pondering this, I immediately thought about my mom. A bunch of you know my mom, my dad. They took sort of early, not really retirement, they actually probably worked harder than ever before now, but shifted to Africa. My parents became Africans and have poured a good part of their lives into Kenya, Rwanda, building orphanages, church buildings, housing for school kids and teachers. Like, they're just having the time of their life. My folks are going back again in January. It's kind of like the Rolling Stones, just one more farewell tour. You know, that 75 years old, going to work on another project. Like, way to go, hey? I mean, get the boots on. Get in the game. My mom was the prototypical Oakville, Ontario suburban housewife who needed air conditioning and a minivan to survive. Like, I remember vividly when my folks told me that they were going to go over to Africa, I thought, there's things that are miraculous and things that are miraculous. Like, this is like, are you serious? Miraculous. Because my mom, like, she just had allowed herself to get her world shrunk down enough that she just figured that if there was no air conditioning, she couldn't make it through the summer. Had to go from air conditioning to air conditioning in Southern Ontario. And, hey, you know, it's pretty sticky and hot. And for my mom, it's this, the battle was on about the obedience to say yes to God. They knew God's voice. My mom and dad had tested it, had heard God's word. They knew this was the right thing to do. And for my mom, it was to take that step of, I'm going to go to Africa with no air conditioning. And we might laugh like that's, but you know, people are where people are. And for her, this was a big thing. Fast forward all these years later, you know, as I sit and I talk to my mom, so what is it about Africa, Mom? Oh, it's home. We just love being there and the people and the things we can do and the service we can do over there. The stuff we can't do here, we can do it over there. And the opportunities, they're just boundless. And they're having so much fun. And it started with that step of obedience, of making a willing sacrifice. To say, I will give up something that I think I can't live without. And that got traded in for something a whole lot better, for joy. Think about the nudge that you get to email someone or to call someone, or you, here's the classic, you run into someone who just happens to need someone like you to run into them because God's arranging your path, and you have this chance to look someone in the eye and say, how are you? Isn't this interesting? Like, I've long ago given up on coincidence. Like, you run into someone, God's will is being done. So what is it that God is up to? Why have you run into them? And is it maybe they've encouraged you? Is there a word? You know, these are moments of willing obedience to pay attention and to take that action. I'm just loving this newsletter that I got from friends of mine. I can't say what country they're in because it's one of the restricted access nations. This update just came, and I'll change the name of the woman to Susan. So recently, Susan was asked to go and pray for a friend's mother who was in a hospital with an eye condition. Okay, I'll go to the hospital and pray. Take that step. Well, imagine what comes next. So she had asked for a more private room to be able to pray, but instead was put in a ward with six other beds. They tried to pray quietly with the mother, but there was no such thing as privacy. A young woman attending her grandmother, because nurses don't care for patients the same way as here in Canada, came over to listen to Susan praying and actually standing extremely close so she could hear everything. After praying for her friend's mother, all the other patients asked her to pray for them also. After praying for the patients, a young woman came over to ask Susan and if she was too tired to pray for her grandmother. So she went over to pray for her, and moments later, the woman tore off the eye patch, exclaiming that she was healed. And then everyone started asking to hear more about what Jesus could do. One accepted Christ right there, and there was a strong sense that God was in that room and at work in all their hearts. Oh, come on! Later, they all wanted to have pictures taken with their new family. The church is being planted there, where it's illegal to do this, you know? The following week, she returned to pray for other patients, and the word was spreading. She prayed for one woman who lay motionless in the bed in too much pain to move. She had a word for the woman related to her stomach, and that, the night after Susan left, the woman had had a dream in which a hand came and was placed on her stomach. In the morning, she was pain-free, up and moving around. Another woman then asked to pray for her son who has leprosy and lives in another city. We're waiting to hear on that one. So this past week, she went again to pray in the ophthalmology ward, and a Muslim woman was waiting to share her good news. The previous week, she was watching how God was healing the other woman in the room, and as I left, I said I would pray for her too, and as I entered, she told me that her other eye was now perfect, and that she now believed that my God was the real one. She began to share with the others that came into the room. This lady, talking about Susan, brings good news that God heals the sick and heals their broken hearts, and it's true. So now someone is giving testimony in the hospital ward. We give glory to God who truly does bring peace and good news to his people. What if Susan, who's probably having a busy day, said, well, I don't think I have time today to go to the hospital to pray. You know, well, the Lord would get busy doing something else, I'm sure, but isn't it better to obey? Isn't it better to say, I will obey. I will be a living sacrifice. I will get in the game, and I will follow through with this opportunity to bring the Word of God. And I just love that, like, they try to be so private to pray. Don't want to get in trouble. And then the whole ward ends up hearing about Jesus. Isn't that fantastic? Need to be stirred up, hey? These are real stories. That's like real time, last month in another part of our world. God is alive. God is alive. We need to offer, so therefore an offer. Offer our bodies. And there's two ways to look at this, individually and as a church and as a congregation of congregations. Yeah, that's where we've got to stop and go, wow, what does this actually mean? Because we, being in the West here, we always and only seem to think about individualism. And that's a starting point. Yes, I need to offer myself. You do too. But as a congregation and as a congregation of congregations, we must be discerning God's will about how to offer ourselves in his service. What is this congregation called to take on this year in mission? What are we as a congregation of congregations, as a church society, called to take on as mission this year? We need to look at all these things with that kind of double lens of what's it mean for me and what's it mean for us. The third word is sacrifice. Therefore, offer sacrifice. This is a great reference to the new covenant freedom that we have. The temple rituals are finished. As we've reminded ourselves with the birth of Christ and his coming, he is the Lamb who came to take away the sin of the world. It's finished. Well, there's a reframing of some of these Old Testament laws because the sacrifice is three types. It's living, it's holy, and it's acceptable to God. It's living, it's available to serve. So it's saying what we just said. This sacrifice shows up ready to go to do the stuff that's being sent. It's a living sacrifice. It's very different than the Old Covenant. That sacrifice was sacrificed. This one shows up and gets into the action, gets into the fun. It's also holy. There's a couple ways to look at this. There's the sense of whole. It's the whole of our lives. You know, it's not the margin or the, you know, the Sunday service. This is the wholeness of our lives. This is 24/7 going through every aspect of our life, made available as a living sacrifice. It's also holy in the sense of an instrument of holiness before God, that how we live and how we make our choices and these small obediences through the day of staying close on the track with God for holiness really matters, and that it's acceptable and pleasing to him. In the Old Testament laws, the Levitical laws, offerings and sacrifices had to be pleasing to God. In other words, you couldn't bring the spotted lamb and have a pleasing sacrifice. God was asking for the one that was spotless, or the first fruits. It wasn't like, well, there's a few, you know, things of grain left after we finish the harvest. No, it's the first fruits. You say thank you up front to the Lord for the harvest that will be enjoyed. You bring it back and wave it to him in worship. You bring it joyfully with a great attitude. This is a living sacrifice. So therefore, offer this sacrifice. And then fourth, transformed. Don't be conformed to this age or the world. The world is always the system that's over against God. So don't be conformed to that, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to hear this individually and as a church. Don't be conformed to this world individually, you, me, as individuals. Like, we need to know what's going on. We need to be paying attention. We need to be seeing where it is that the pressure's on us to mold us in the system of the world. And as a church, we need to pay attention. There's a lot of temptations for churches to trade away God's best for something that might seem more catchy or more popular. You know, we can start to loosen the doctrine a little bit. You know, like, oh, we don't have to be quite so serious about doctrine. We need to be more inclusive and popular. Well, that is accommodating to the spirit of the age. And we must not do that. To guard the doctrine. Stand for righteousness. The teeth need to be in the truth, individually and as a church. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our mind is the place of the choice, and the battle is on. Again, we're not talking about how to muster more self-control, like try harder, work harder kind of stuff. Remember when Tim was speaking at the start of Christmas, that was a great part of your sermon there. It's not about working harder. There's something behind that. It's that if your mind is fixed on God, or if you allow your mind to be fixated on the world's agenda, to be preoccupied with the world's system, the battle starts to really rage. And there's this place, even right now, where I think it's absolutely critical to pause and to stop. As we've gathered here, I know this is, you guys are the keen keeners, New Year's Day, 10 o'clock, yes. But you know what would be very pleasing to God is if truly, right now, personally, can either needing to ask him, is there anything, or if there's already something that comes to mind, what is it that you have allowed, that I've allowed, that we've allowed to fixate, to preoccupy our attention that's of the world? And there's a lot of stuff that can fixate us and preoccupy us. Just let's bring that to God. Lord, we would pause right now. We'd pause and ask your Spirit. You know, it's in advance of coming to your table, of celebrating the victory of Christ, we'd pause and we would take seriously a word that you want to bear these burdens. My brothers, my sisters, where's the pressure on? Where's the weight? Do you feel it? Jesus would come alongside right now and would bear that off of you. He promises to come onto him if you're weary and heavy laden with this stuff. He will give you rest. It's this real sense of coming into this new year unburdened, freshly focused onto the person of Christ, onto the provision that's been made for us to live this freedom. So, Lord, we give it to you. Lord, we give it to you. Just a few minutes ago, Tim and Monica were singing, here it is, singing the song 10,000 Reasons. And in the first verse, it says, it's time to sing your song again. That just leapt out at me. This is what we're getting at, is this getting back to your voice, singing the song of praise that God has put within your heart, as this other stuff is laid down, as the preoccupations, as the anxieties and the worries and the heaviness is given back to God, that song would rise up again in you. That song that's authentically your worship voice to God would rise up again, and you would be declaring his praises with freedom, as that transformation does its work in your mind, and then in your whole life. And then lastly, prove. Prove. This verse 2 takes a sudden turn here, a rather extraordinary statement of all this stuff happens so that we can prove what God's will is. We can have confidence. You know, as you're entering this new year, again, you know, the year is sort of an artificially imposed grid over top of life. Like, yesterday and today aren't that much different, really. But the calendar really puts an emphasis on that. It's a new year, so we'll work with that. Isn't it absolutely beyond encouraging that you can know with confidence God's will? And we, as a church, congregation of congregations, we can know God's will. As we live our lives as this living sacrifice, again, individually and together, God's will rises up within our midst. His calling rises up within our midst. His therefore goes before us like a snowplow down a BC road, clearing the way. We can have confidence that the way is before us. Absolute confidence And it's done by testing, by proving. And this is the idea here is to learn the genuineness of something by the examination of it and by its actual use. That's a fantastic word. By actually using faith, by actually using this obedience, we actually get to test and prove God's will. And it will always be this, the world's way or God's way. It's a discovery process. It's community-based. It involves people in prayer and discernment together. And it leads to pleasing outcomes because God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. Therefore, offer the sacrifice transformed. Prove God's will. These five words to mark 2012 for me, for you, for us, for the collective us. Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, let your will be done. Lord, lead us to this table. To invite Monica and Tim to help us prepare our hearts with a song, with some spaciousness to listen to God. I mean, we absolutely invite you to be attentive to God's voice. You know, Tony already has stepped up and felt that nudge of the Lord for those words, those declarations. Is there a word stirring up for the congregation? You know, the Lord is speaking. The Lord is moving. The Lord is healing. We have time. We've got a space here. We've come. May as well that we leave with everything that he has for us, hey? As we prepare ourselves to receive at this table, open your heart to the Lord for him to speak that word right now as he knows where each of us are at. If you've come in this morning and you haven't yet turned your life to Jesus to be the Lord, the Savior, this is the time to say, yes, Lord. You'd be welcome to this table today. If you'd say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. Just talk to one of us afterwards and we'll help you understand what that means and fully. But let that decision be today. Today's a great day to be saved. Is there an amen in the house? Today's a great day to be saved. And for those already in step with God, this is a great day to sharpen the focus. So Lord, speak to us. Let's prepare our hearts.